Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome to Chops Live Radio Broadcast, and I know it's been a while since I've been here, but I'm here now, and I've been busy working out there in the community, dealing with beautification, development, improvement, and restoration. And I got to tell you, I've been dealing with some kids this week, in the last couple of weeks, and I got to tell you, you parents of those children, you're a curse to your own child. Because you won't teach your own child the truth. You won't teach them to respect their elders. You won't teach them to behave. You won't teach them to sit down and shut up. You know, you're teaching them to run buck wild and to act buck wild. And then that's why we get portrayed the way we do in media. That's how it happens. Even on the other day, yesterday I believe it was, I went to my hometown website, Syracuse.com, and I saw an article, and I said to myself, wow. And, you know, I shared it. I'm going to go to it, as a matter of fact. I'm going to read some of those comments, but, you know, somebody did delete it, their comments, because they knew they were dead wrong. But, you know, it is what it is. Oh, yeah. The world's oldest woman died the other day. She died at age 116. I'm getting to it right about... Oh, I know where it is. I know exactly what I'm looking for now. I know the photograph I'm looking for. And I'm going to read this article to you as well. Also, that church that was bombed... Not bombed. That church that was shot up and 9 were killed. That is a historical... That is a historical church founded by a slave who led a revolution. Anyway, this is the article. Syracuse parolee found with more than $6,000 worth of crack cocaine records show. Syracuse, New York. It says a Syracuse man, and I read this, and I said, wow. But anyway, It says a Syracuse man who was on parole after a felony drug conviction was arrested last week after police say he was found with $6,400 worth of crack cocaine. Court records filed by police provide the following account. Deshaun Quinn, 33, of 316 Renwick Ave, was found with 34 grams of crack cocaine in his pants pocket and an additional 30 grams of crack on the floor under the passenger seat of his 2014 Ford Fusion. Quinn was found with the drugs around 3 a.m. on February 27th in the 500 block of Almond Street. He was charged with two counts of felony third-degree criminal possession of a controlled substance and one count of misdemeanor seventh-degree criminal possession of a controlled substance. A second man, 29-year-old Michael Alexander of 104 Wiser Court, was also arrested according to police records, but his involvement was not detailed in the court paperwork. Alexander has been charged with one count each of third and seventh degree criminal possession of a controlled substance. Quinn was released from prison in 2013 after he was convicted of second degree criminal possession of a controlled substance. He was sent to prison for that conviction in November 2009. Both men were arraigned in city court and sent to the Onondaga County Justice Center. Quinn is being held without bail while Alexander was released on bail on Saturday. Court contact Jacob Pucci, and they got a phone number in there for any other information. And Jacob is the writer of that article. And some of the comments, some of these comments on here, you can see that there's some racist people. But I know one made a mention. Does he own the car? 2014 car on parole. Crack biz must be doing good, IMO, means in my opinion. And Jacob Pucci replied to Flanny Cuse. The car was licensed in New Jersey. The documents I have don't say who owned the car. And but you know, I mean, I could read these comments to you. You read them yourself, but I'm not going to read them to you. Because you can tell some of the people are racist. You know, some of the people are just being nasty. Some of the people being smart alecks. But when I shared it, this is my hometown now. When I shared it, Teresa, who's known for calling in top, she said jail will usually teach a person more criminal behavior, especially if they arrive in that system with no morals to begin with. No, I'm not surprised. And what I posted, when I shared it, I posted, wow, looking back at my hometown, all I can say is wow. Then somebody said, most of the time there is no rehabilitation education offered in jails or prisons. You are marked for life as a convict, felon, and employment is very slim. I am not making excuses for this man, but much of the time this is the result of our failed criminal injustice system. And then Teresa said correction and rehabilitation is a myth. Then we got Chamari Gunn. He said, y'all need to take this down. He ain't asked to be in your post. I will appreciate it. Posting about incorrect news stories. So then this girl, Yvette Brooks, that is crazy. People shouldn't make negative comments regarding someone's character when they know nothing about them. Then I said to her, Yvette Brooks, and who is it you are speaking about? Anyway, this goes on and on and on. And Chamari Gunn tagged his sister, because this happens to be his brother. And he tagged his sister. His sister came in there cussing up a storm and all this type of stuff. This Yvette Brooks girl, she blocked me. But the point is, all I did was share a story, and after talking with the brother, Chamari Gunn, in private, he came to me and said, well, I know you didn't mean any harm, but the article is false. I said, well, do you have anything that can prove that is false? You know, show me the article that's true. He didn't have that. But the reason I didn't take it down is because he could have came to me in person, me and him are friends. Been friends since 2010. Actually, I know Tamari Gunn. I know his sister, well, one of his relatives, Sharon Gunn, who I think she's married to one of my best friends up there. But the bottom line is that they came in attacking me just because I shared it. But what you don't see is not one of them made one statement on the original website. That's why I named today's broadcast as I have named it. Why the race called black attacks each other but won't attack racists. Now we got I seen a video clip of Don Lemon doing an interview on the 9 that were killed. There's this girl in the background doing all this yelling and screaming at Don Lemon and calling him an Uncle Tom and all this type of stuff. And then, you know, I mean, she was just belligerent. All up in the camera. Two reporters standing side by side talking, and she in the background walking back and forth saying stuff. Just being nasty. And so I saw where she uploaded a video that Don Lemon did an interview with her. And she was nasty. She was just ignorant. And then she posted and said, this is the interview, which they won't show on CNN. But the point is, first of all, you crazy witch, Uncle Tom was murdered and tortured and slaughtered because he wouldn't give up the whereabouts of two slave women who had escaped. So when you call people Uncle Toms because you think they're a sellout, Uncle Tom was not a sellout. He died because he didn't sell out. But because you're so ignorant, you just used to, people for years have been calling people who sold out Uncle Tom. So the point is, you don't even know what you're talking about. But then, you wouldn't do that to Fox News. You wouldn't do that to a Fox News reporter, but you'll do it to your own, who's reporting the story. Fox News ain't even covering it correctly, but you won't do anything like that to them. Just like you people who came to my Facebook page and attacked me for sharing a basic story from the internet. Not one of you made one statement on that article to say it's not true. Not one. But you want to come to me. But then here it is. I run a broadcast that allows people like you to come on and speak and to tell the truth. And then I work with you to get the information taken down. That's false. But because you are blind, deaf, dumb, lost, simple, and weak-minded, you don't know any better. That's why you attack me. That's why they attack Don Lemon. That's why folks, they got this thing called black-on-black crime, and that's why it's so high. Robbing each other, stealing from each other, murdering each other, all this stuff. Because you're under a curse that was given unto you by God himself. And I can prove it to you. Because it's plain as day. It's right there in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, verses 10 through 12. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, and listen carefully, and for this cause, what's the cause? Because you receive not the love of the truth, that you might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. That's a curse from God that you believe a lie because you receive not the truth, that you might be saved. And verse 12, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth but have pleasure in unrighteousness. And that pleasure in that unrighteousness that you have is when you go around gunning people down in your own neighborhood, throwing out trash, tearing up your own neighborhood, parking the cars all on the lawn and stuff, throwing beer cans and McDonald's bags and all kind of stuff just anywhere, because you have pleasure in unrighteousness. And when these folks go out to kill folks, they have pleasure in that stuff. They don't do it because they don't want to do it. They do it because they want to do it. Anyway, that being said, I have laid it down. It's up to you. How you going to do it? I want to play a clip, a little short clip by Dr. King. Because you fear going after your own enemy. You come after your own, but you won't do nothing to a racist. A racist can come up in your community and tear it up, and you won't do them but sit back and let them. You let the cops do it all the time. They come in your community and gun down unarmed people. And all you do is march. But you'll shoot each other, but you won't shoot them because you're scared of them. That's your problem. I'm not saying to go out and shoot no police. I'm just saying you won't because you're scared of them. That's why you go around shooting each other. Because you don't know any better. You find pleasure in unrighteousness because you do not have love for the truth. If you had love for the truth, you would know how to deal with police who can come in your neighborhood and gun down unarmed men. You wouldn't go after them. What you would do, you would start a prevention program. You would start teaching these kids how not to be out there in the streets and caught like that in situations like that by themselves. They would always be with somebody. They wouldn't be trying to steal some cigars from the store owner like Michael Brown was doing. That didn't deserve that don't call, you know, him deserve to get killed, but still. That's what he was doing when he left, before he left. And then Darren Wilson, the cop, he was fired, well, let go or whatever you want to call it, from the previous police department he worked for because they had been disbanded. Because it was found out that they were too racist. So the government closed that whole police force down. And Darren Wilson left that one and came to the one over there in Ferguson. I mean, it's just like Sanford, Florida with Trayvon Martin. You know, you was going after Zimmerman, look, putting out bounty for him and all this kind of stuff, like you actually got the power to do something if you do catch him. But you didn't ever look at the police department. It was Justin Collison, who in 2007 shot up a car with people in it. He never went to jail. He never did no time for the attempted murder because his father was a detective on the Sanford Police Department. And then in 2010, he cold cocked what you might call a black homeless guy. Broke his nose. Never went to jail. Police picked him up, put him in the back seat of the car. Matter of fact, he got in the back seat of the car on his own. No handcuffs. Never went to jail. Never did no time. All he had to do was pay a $2,000 hospital bill and then pay $3,000 out to three different charities. And one of those charities was the Sanford NAACP. So that's proof that the Sanford Police Department is corrupt and crooked. But you never went after them. No, but what the new Black Panther did, Al Sharpton and Michael Bazin, they came down to Sanford to draw attention away from them, to put it all on Zimmerman. And like idiots, you all listen to those three. And hey, you gave the police department as much time they needed to doctor up any videos or photos of Zimmerman or whatever they wanted to do and shred whatever evidence or whatever they wanted to shred from past years of racism. CNN did a report, a town meeting, and all of the people, about 30 people lined up, my skin color, talking about how racist the cops were in Sanford, Florida. They got a record of they got a history of it. Anyway, you wouldn't go after them, you know, but hey, that's how you are, because you fear, because you're too busy indulging in unrighteousness. You're too busy finding pleasure in unrighteousness. 2 Thessalonians 2, chapter 2, 10 through 11, again, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, this has been going on for years. I'm going to play this clip by Dr. Martin Luther King. Then I'm going to play another short clip, then I'm up out of here. But even back in the 60s, the government was paying Caucasians money to learn how to farm, money to buy farms, money to buy equipment, and then turn around, they paid them money not to farm so they could pay for their land and their equipment. And those are the same people who told your parents and grandparents and great-grandparents to pull themselves up by the bootstraps. Dr. King went after them. But y'all won't. He exposed them. But y'all won't. But y'all go after your own. You'll kill your own. But you won't go after your real enemy. Because you're too busy being your own enemy. You're doing a bidding for the KKK. You're doing just what they want you to do. Kill each other. That's what they want you to do. They're doing the job. You're doing the job so they don't have to. You're going to prison for the KKK. That's what you're doing. Because you're ignorant. Because you're too busy finding joy and pleasure in doing unrighteousness. Here's Dr. King. Be back. 1 minute and 13 seconds.
At the very same time that America refused to give the Negro any land, through an act of Congress, our government was giving away millions of acres of land in the West and the Midwest, which meant that it was willing to undergird its white peasants from Europe with an economic floor. But not only did they give the land, they built land-grant colleges with government money to teach them how to farm. Not only that, they provided county agents to further their expertise in farming. Not only that, they provided low interest rates in order that they could mechanize their farms. Not only that, today many of these people are receiving millions of dollars in federal subsidies not to farm, and they are the very people telling the black man that he ought to lift himself by his own bootstraps. Now, this is what we are faced with, and this is the reality. Now, when we come to Washington in this campaign, we are coming to get our check.
Now, I'm going to play that clip again so you can hear it again, but the point is, that's right before Dr. King was killed. But instead of carrying the torch on, fear came into your lives. You've been fearing ever since. Nobody carried the torch. You've been going downhill ever since. That's almost worse than the idiot I heard on radio that said Satan had sex with Eve. And that's the forbidden fruit. And then make it so bad, as I listened to the radio station, some of the main talkers was agreeing with them. And you just a lost people. And you refuse to do right because you find too much pleasure in unrighteousness. But just like the one who said Satan has sex with Eve, that's the forbidden fruit that was taking a bite out of. It don't make no sense, because if the fruit was on a tree and Satan took a bite out of Eve and then Adam came and took a bite out of Eve, that don't make no sense. But they was all for it on the radio, on the Kevin Elkins show the other morning, because I tune in to Thursdays because it's Religious Thursday. But then again, I just get tired of seeing the ignorance. But anyway, play this clip one more time and just remember this. The black farmers won their lawsuit. Only a few have been paid off. There are hundreds more, thousands won the lawsuit, but there are hundreds and hundreds out there still who have never gotten their money. But yet, You don't even stand up for yourself. You're too busy in unrighteousness. Just like the prison reform. You overstock the prison with yourselves. You're the majority in prison, but when you go to a prison reform meeting, there's 85% Caucasians there. And only 10% of us. But then a lot of you want to run around and say, all white people are devils. But then they're the very ones out there helping you. You want to hate them too. But then again, you won't go up against a racist. But you'll go up against Don Lemon. But you won't go after Fox News. You won't say nothing on their microphone. But that's all because you're too busy finding pleasure in unrighteousness. Here's Dr. King again. I'm going to play a clip and I'm up out of here. Because it's just a shame. 1 minute, 13 seconds.
At the very same time that America refused to give the Negro any land, through an act of Congress, our government was giving away millions of acres of land in the West and the Midwest, which meant that it was willing to undergird its white peasants from Europe with an economic floor. But not only did they give the land, they built land-grant colleges with government money to teach them how to farm. Not only that, they provided county agents to further their expertise in farming. Not only that, they provided low interest rates in order that they could mechanize their farms. Not only that, today many of these people are receiving millions of dollars in federal subsidies not to farm, and they are the very people telling the black man that he ought to lift himself by his own bootstraps. Now, this is what we are faced with, and this is the reality. Now, when we come to Washington in this campaign, we are coming to get our check.
All right. Now, what y'all need to do, basically, is just go back to your roots. Your roots start with the father. You need to learn his culture. Instead of dragging all of these other things into your culture and claiming it and yelling, this is our culture, like hip-hop and rap. That is not part of your culture. That's something you made up, copying off of somebody else. Now it then went big. Now you want to claim it as part of your culture. How is it helping you? How is hip-hop and rap helping y'all? It's not giving y'all false dreams to go out here and get rich. Just like all the comedians. How you gonna get a laugh off of somebody who was born with a short arm, or walk with a limp? You find joy in that for real? Or having a comedian on stage cussing every third or fourth word, making fun of other folks? That ain't part of your culture. I'll tell you what part of your culture is. Don't play this clip. Part of your culture that deals with entertainment is helping and serving others to the truth. Just like back in the day of Moses, they sat around a lot, but they would tell the children the stories of their fathers and grandfathers and great-grandfathers. They continued to tell them about their parents, their grandparents and great-grandparents and so on, so they could keep the story in the family and pass it down from generation to generation. We don't do that no more. But that's what they did. That's how they were able to have the Bible written the way it was, with all of that history. Because most of it was memorized. We don't have time to memorize stuff today. Too busy doing this and doing that and everything else that's so selfish. But when you come back to God's culture, your entertainment will be when you help somebody that's under a curse to get out from under that curse. When you help somebody and serve somebody who's needy or poor. You help them learn a trade or a skill, and then they can get out on their own and take care of themselves, and then they can turn around and help somebody else. That should be your entertainment. Anyway, I'm going to play this clip. It's one of my favorites, and yes, it's Sanctified. This is where you need to go to. Be back.
I don't care what nobody say. Years ago, when you saw a sanctified woman, you knew she was sanctified. Take somebody and ask them, can you handle it? Can you handle it? Oh, look at you, look at you. Oh, God, I told you the word come to cause you to adjust your life. See, the word don't come to make you feel good. The word comes to cause you to adjust your life. So that as I come into the life, I walk. Sometimes we just don't know because we got a bunch of cowards that won't preach it. But once you know, now you got to walk in this life. Now back to what I was saying. Years ago, I don't care where you were. You came across a sanctified woman, you knew it. She didn't look like everybody else. She didn't dress like everybody, Mother Polly. Oh, God, see, they too young to know anything about that. No, she didn't look any kind of way, not when she was sanctified. Now you got sanctified women. I mean, could I preach? Now they standing up preaching and singing and just shouting. And child, they got four splits in one skirt. Four splits and only got one skirt. And all of them come up above the knee. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Sanctified women didn't look like that years ago. Could I preach it? I'm going to get to your brothers in a minute. Sanctified women didn't look like that years ago. Sanctified women understood that now my body is a temple of God. And I ain't got no business showing my body to every Tom, Dick, and Harry. Especially. I ain't got no business showing my body. But now the devil don't care how you look. Y'all ain't, can I preach here? He don't care how beat up you look. He'll put you on something tight. And I wonder, is there a mirror in the house at all? Look at somebody and ask them, neighbor, what did your mirror tell you? What did your mirror say? I'm talking about sanctification. Could I preach sanctification? What did your mirror tell you? How did you feel comfortable coming out in some of this stuff? And now you got sanctified. Oh, God, could I preach here? You got the sanctified women now trying to look sexy. And the rest of us know you ain't sexy. You deceived. Lord, look at them, ain't gonna say nothing here. Sanctified women didn't use that kind of, Lord, that manipulation years ago. Now you come to church and you got on what we call them fanny wrappers. Now we come to church, there is no more modesty now. Now we come, I'm talking about sanctified folk now. Now sanctified folk coming with low-cut blouses. That's what the sanctified folk want to do now, the so-called sanctified folk. Years ago, when the mothers, God, whatever happened to the mothers? When the mothers saw a young lady coming in church, and your skirt was above your knees while you were standing up, you wasn't on your seat 3 seconds before a handkerchief hit your knees. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Y'all ain't saying nothing here. I'm talking about years ago. Sanctified folk. God. Oh, Lord, could I preach here? Sanctified folk. If you came in here and your blouse was a little too low, they put a choir robe on you and tell you not to sit there until you get a chance to get saved tonight. I look at the folk. They ain't going to say nothing now. And now, wait a minute. Wait, wait. Now we got brothers. See, I figured the brothers were going to shout while we talk about sisters. But now, brothers, we done gone crazy. Could I preach here? Now we got men. Y'all ain't saying nothing. We used to try to preach and get the women out the earrings. Now we got the men in. Now we got the men looking crazy. And don't even realize that that's not sanctification. Just because we saw a bunch of artists out in the world with it, now the artists in the church got it. And we don't know holiness from secular anymore because there is no sanctification. They singing about holiness. They talking about it. But ain't nobody want to live holy without being sanctified. They don't want sanctification. I can handle holiness. Just don't give me holiness with sanctification. Not a man got long hair. Could I preach here? Not a man got long hair. Not a man switching. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Now the men got long hair and a feminine walk. They ain't saying nothing. That didn't go on years ago in the sanctified church. I know they're getting mad now. When the Bible says that it is a shame. People don't believe the word. They don't believe. The Bible says it is a shame for a man to have long hair. But now they are fanning over that choir and all this kind of stuff sitting on our organ. Y'all ain't gonna say nothing here with their hands on the keys like this. Oh God, y'all ain't gonna talk here. That ain't going on in a sanctified church. See, people can't handle this. It's going down a little too rough. We didn't see that years ago in the sanctified church. Brothers used to dress holy. Now we coming to church in shorts. Lord, could I preach? I said, could I preach? Now the men coming to church in shorts. Lord, have mercy. Now the men wearing tight clothes. Coming to church with muscle shirts on. Because the preacher got a muscle shirt on. That ain't sanctification. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Y'all ain't talking here. Mm, God, could I preach up in here? Men coming to church with them rubber pants on, just stuck to them. I told them years ago, your pants so tight, you better come out of them. Folks standing behind you can see your credit card through your back pocket. stealing your number. Y'all better stop all that. Men coming to church looking great. Y'all ain't gonna talk here. Now when we come to church, now our shirts are unbuttoned down to our navel. Could I preach about sanctification? Showing that old, rusty, dirty, old, nasty taco meat. Just sitting on y'all. Don't nobody want to see your nappy sack. We didn't come to see that. That wasn't sanctification years ago. But now everything is sanctified. And now the devil preaching holiness. He's just saying you gotta live holy, you gotta live holy, you gotta live holy. But now he ain't telling you how to live right. Y'all ain't gonna talk here. Because I come to tell you, when you get saved, you don't look like you used to look. Lord, when you get saved and he sanctifies you, when he sanctifies you, he sets you apart.
All right. All right. Well, that's it for tonight. And I'm going to go and check out Minister Gerald. How you doing, Minister Gerald?
Hey. What's going on, brother?
All
How's
right.
everything with you?
Hey.
Oh, okay.
Good.
I'm going to hold you up. We just had a quick vigil over here at Mama Tina's prayer vigil for the people down in South Carolina. I don't want to hold you up. I just was listening to that. I love that sermon about the men and the women in the church. It's a new world, brother. New world.
Hey. Yeah. All right. Well, during that vigil that y'all doing.
Huh? What did you say, Dennis?
During that
vigil. He said to call in. He better hurry up. Pastor said he's finna call in. Dennis. But yeah, we had a little quick prayer vigil, man. You know.
Okay, well, I got to get ready for
it.
Yeah, I got to go to choir rehearsal. Praise and worship rehearsal.
Yeah. Okay, he's going to call you right now. Just let him know you got to get out of there.
All right. All
Take
right.
Take care,
Mama.
All
right. But Dennis.
Yeah.
What's going on, my brother?
Oh, I just was closing out, but I gave a full definition of why our race attacks each other, but won't attack races. And it's all dealing with fear and finding pleasure in unrighteousness, being under strong delusion, because they don't have the love for the truth that'll save their life. That's why, you know, they attacked Don Lemon the other day, this girl did, but she would have never said that to any Fox News people. And, you know, nobody, you know, just like this guy who did the shooting, they called Trayvon Martin a thug. They called the president and his wife a thug, a terrorist, I mean. But what are they calling this guy who killed the 9? What are they calling him?
Well, you know, the thing about it is right now, man, they're attacking all Christians, man, whether anybody look at it or not. You know, down here, I'll never forget, I put it online, a man told me, that you know what they do now, they don't kill you physically. They attack you, your character, and assassinate your character. And that's exactly what's going on now. It's even going on with me. But what we have to do is withstand the test because God is in control. So I've been warned by God to just relax. You know, he is in control. And I really got a little overwhelmed with it. Because I was so disappointed in the brothers and sisters that I had helped and did so much for that would go ahead and believe in nonsense and stuff like that and how easy it is for us to get deceived by people who we think are righteous people or good people. You know, but one good thing I got to admit, and I'll admit it right here online, is that you wasn't deceived at all, my brother. You always try to tell us, you know, that certain folks just wasn't who they pretended to be. And I just thank God for that. But I thank God for what's going on. I thank God for what God is doing in my life and for the revelation, because whether we want to look at it or not, We can talk about South Carolina. We just had a vigil. I just put it up online for everybody to see. White and black people were here together. If anybody is looking at what's going on in South Carolina, there are a whole bunch of different races out there that are fighting and praying and fighting for, you know, the 9 people that were killed inside the church. And what people got to realize, this is an attack on Christians. It is not a black and white. This is a spiritual battle. You know, more black people are being attacked. More black people are being killed than any other race. So for us to sit up there and act like racism don't exist, it would be ignorant on anybody's behalf to say that it's not race, because it is race. It's racially motivated, but most of all, we have to realize it's spiritually motivated, because even slavery was spiritually motivated, and we have to consider that. But at the same time that people are killing people based on race, we don't have to allow it to remain about race. And what I mean by that is that people, the police brutality cases that's going on, the cases with South Carolina, where the guy shooting, he was doing it because it was racially embedded in him. Racism was embedded in him. But clearly we don't have to let it remain and stay about race, because we all that are alive, we all that are well and that are Christians, and that are doing God's job, could turn it around and make it not about race, but make it about restoration, about restoring, about human life, about all lives matter, about each and every one of us, and about protecting each other. And we could definitely make it about love and about God. So that's what I got to say about it, Brother Dennis.
Well, Dr. Glasgow, I'm going to say this, and as I said in my commentary when I started off, until we go back to our original culture, it ain't nothing going to happen. And our original culture starts with God the Father.
That's it. Now, that's totally it. Till we get, because the only reason that people are attacking people, even such as myself, is because of evil spirits, man. I mean, you know, you have to realize that there is nobody out there. For you to sit up there and have the means and the audacity and the premeditation to sit there in church, have service, and then wait for people to go to prayer and then do it. And then for you to have the audacity to sit there and befriend the person, go with them for such a long time, and then try to destroy them in the midst. I mean, for you to do that, that's evil. There's nothing else you could call it but evil, my brother. I don't care what nobody says, how they cook it, saute it, simmer it, fry it, bake it, it's still evil. And so you are perfectly right. Until we get back to the Father, as we're supposed to do, and all of us, I have done some things I had to repent of, but I haven't done what people say I have. Everybody, you know, and I tell people all the time, you know, he that's with that out sin cast the first stone. This may be one of the only times, well, it's not the only time, but this is one of the times in my life that I'm getting persecuted, not prosecuted. I went to prison and jail for the things I've done. This is one of the times in my life I haven't done that. Those people didn't do anything to deserve what happened in South Carolina. And look what happened. But guess what? We know that those people went to heaven. They was in the right place at the right time. I heard somebody say, oh, they was just in the wrong place. No. They was in church. They was having service. They was doing prayer. They was in the right place at the right time, and God called them home.
Well, as the Bible says, those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So
theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of heaven. And so they reach to heaven. And so, you know, one of the things that we have to do now as Christian folks, now I'm not talking to you if you're black. I'm talking to Christian folks. I'm not talking to you if you're white. I'm talking to Christian folks. I'm not talking to you if you're Hispanic or Asian. I'm talking to Christian folks. Or whatever other nationality you are. I'm talking to Christian folks. What we got to do is exactly what you said, Brother Dennis. We got to get back to our original culture, and that's God. That's it. So everybody just needs to relax, because God is in control. We have to, but sit there and watch out. You know, one of the things that hit me last night, Dennis, you know what it was? I was thinking about how the Muslims pray. And when they're praying, they always got a sharif, they call it. And that sharif is one that stands at the door and watches or stands up in the corner and watches over those that's praying. So somebody's always watching while others are praying. It's a shame that now we in the church going to have to feel that way. Because regardless of what us preachers say and how us preachers try to portray an image, all of us now, you know, it's going to be some preachers that go to church Sunday morning, going to have their gun under their robe to protect themselves. But, you know, this then I heard the NRA board member said that the reason this happened is because Pastor Pinkney spoke against and voted against people having the right to bear arms. Now, you know, that's a whole other subject right there. People get mad when you go to talking about Amendment 2. But when stuff like this happens, you have to consider the fact of had Amendment 2 not been in effect, would this boy receive the .45 caliber for his 21st birthday? Is there some kind of evaluation or mental test that we need to take before we just give certain people guns or whatever? I mean, it's just all kind of innuendos we need to look at this.
And you know something. They're gonna do all they can to figure out this guy's mind. So they can do something about their own race. But you know, when it's one of us, they don't give a damn about our mind.
Let me tell you something, brother.
That's why they won't call him a thug or a terrorist.
Yeah, but let me tell you something, my brother. You know, one of the things that we got to look at, man, this is a spirit. We're in spiritual warfare. And any time you commit a hate crime, whether it's assassinating somebody's character, whether it's going in the church shooting somebody, whether it's believing the lie just because, whether it's talking about somebody behind their back, whether it's gossiping, sharing, and reposting, whether it's sitting up there talking about somebody and you don't even know their situation. You know, I heard a brother the other day and somebody put on Facebook that girl you was talking about saying she was a prostitute, she got raped and that baby she got was caused by that rape. The man you was talking about that was out there with no shoes on, somebody just robbed him and took his shoe. You know, and all that comes from the same kind of evil. Jealousy and envy and control, when you want to control somebody because they don't do what you want them to do, all that comes from the same kind of evil. That's that same kind of malice and stuff that breeds from racism. So, you know, whether anybody want to address it for what it is or say what it is or admit what it is, there's no way around this young man saying in his last statements that y'all trying to take over our world, our America, and that you raping all that women. There's no way around it not being racist in that boy head. In his head, it was racist. Now, they could evaluate all they want to evaluate, but I've read every last one of the statements from all his friends, all the people that went to school with him, and all of them said emphatically, he was racist. So they can try to evaluate all they want to and all that. Just call it for what it is. Now, do we have to let it remain racist? No. Because I've seen a whole bunch of white people over there in South Carolina that's marching, that's crying, that's praying, and that's trying to help folks recover from this. Somebody say restore. But until we be honest about what things are, till we be honest about people's motives and agendas and why they do things, we're going to continue to go around in circles of trying to figure it out. When it ain't nothing to figure out, it is what it is. It's racist.
Yep, that's the bottom line. Yep. Hey, but listen, I got to get ready to go to rehearsal.
Go ahead and rehearse with my brother. Make some beautiful music, man. And God bless you, Brother Dennis. You've been holding it down. I promise to be on the radio with you even more. And matter of fact, you know, let's get some of these people on here. If they want to argue, debate, or whatever they want to do, let's do it. I mean, that's what time it is now, because we can't sit back. When people start going in the church, shooting and killing people in the church, it's time for the real Christians to stand up. And that's what time it is now. God bless you, brother. Go ahead and practice. Rehearse.
All right. Okay, appreciate that. All right, everybody. I'm going to holler at you later. And as I always say, if I was you, I'd put myself in a position where God can use me. And the only way I can do that is if I love God with all my heart, all my soul, and all my strength, and love my neighbor as myself. You do that, you'll be in a position where God can use you. Anyway, I'll see y'all next time.
Hallelujah. I'm gonna live so God can use me anywhere, Lord, anytime. I'm gonna live so God can use me anywhere, Lord, anytime. I'm gonna walk so God can use me anywhere, Lord, anytime.